Presents, done the wrapping, sent the cards, yes. My house has turned into a dairy farm. Charles is making cheese and I don't know what she's doing. So me and Teddy get out, we go to the forest. I get a pat on the back for being a good doggy daddy and getting, but it's just the way to get out of the house. It's busy in ours. Right, now look, while out in the forest, I kind of took all of this to the Lord. What am I going to teach this weekend? There's been a lot of messages given, a lot of information. And the Lord just impressed upon me, which I want to impress upon you, one thing, just one thing, because your heads are probably pickled, family members and meetings and everything else you've been doing. But this one thing that will be, by God's grace, impressed on you, as it was in me, by the end of this message. And it's just short message, okay? I promise you, it's just a short message, and then we're going to have communion and a time of worship and then fellowship. But I want to impress this on you. So, as we're in Luke chapter 2, we stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in verse 8 and simply reading through verse 15. So, Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with them, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And Lord, will you make known to us this one thing that you impressed upon my heart, which I believe you want impressed on the hearts of your people. Lord, we continue to praise you and thank you for Christ. And what a wonderful time of year to look unto him, Christ the Savior, born in the city of David, come into this world to bring light in the areas of darkness and to bring joy in the areas of gloom. So, Abba Father, will you be praised throughout this? And we ask it in the Savior's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Now, over the past 3 weeks, we've had three messages about three amazing events. The first one was about Mary. The message was entitled, Could It Be? The second one was about Simeon called Emmanuel. And the third one was about the Magi, the Tale of Two Kings. These are three messages we've had during the Advent season. Now, with Mary, she was considering prophecy. She'd been called in this position by the Lord, called to obedience, and told that she's going to, well, to receive a baby. So she was considering, could it be particular prophecies being fulfilled in her life? We looked at the prophecy in Genesis 3:15. We looked at the prophecy in Jeremiah, and the prophecies in the prophet Isaiah. With Simeon, if you remember, was elated at the fact he'd seen the Savior. He said this, My eyes have seen your salvation. Now allow your servant to depart in peace. And with the Magi, the wise men simply come, if you can remember, to worship Jesus. That's where we've been in the last 3 weeks. Now, all of these, I will hold and attest to the fact they are historical events, actual events, But also, all three of them are supernatural events, aren't they? They're all very supernatural. Mary had this angelic visitation saying, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you." With Simeon had a revelation and an assurance of the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's anointed. And with the Magi, they'd received the word of God, probably by the time of Daniel had given them the word, and they'd received a sign. They said this, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." All of this, when we read the scriptures, is very supernatural at a time where Israel really haven't received any other revelation for about 400 years. And suddenly, all at once, all of these supernatural events happen. Now, if we look at the shepherds, again, we have another angelic visitation. The angel said to them, look with me in verse 10. This is another historical and another supernatural event. The angel said this, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then this is followed, isn't there, by this outburst of praise. The angel is joined by the heavenly host saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards all men." Now, my question is this. If you yourselves, let's be honest, was in an event like this, what would be your response? Be honest. How would you respond? Would you freeze? Would you flight, as they say? Maybe you would faint. How would you respond? Tell me how you would respond. Freeze, freak out. There's lots of F's. Freeze, freak out. Anything else? Fear. Oh, that's a good one. Anything else? What was that one? In awe and wonder of these angels all singing glory to Jesus in the highest. And, oh, praising the Lord. And you're like, hold on a minute. I was in my field looking after my lamb. Now what's happened? Anyone had a supernatural event, an encounter with the Lord? Hands up if you had. Now, it's often I hear this. Praise God for that. It's often I hear this. If only I had a supernatural event like everybody else. If only I had a supernatural event like the angels, like Mary, like Simeon, like Joseph. I had a dream or an angelic visitation. Then I would take my faith seriously. Oh, if only I had an angel visitation, then I would be like the real Christians, and then, and only then, will I take it seriously. Anyone ever heard that? I've heard this in evangelism. Well, if God come down and one person said, change the pavement to gold, and then I would believe him. Now, let's have a look at the shepherd's response. Luke 2:15. "So it was, when the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" That's the title of this message. That's all. I couldn't get past anything else. I could easily teach about shepherds. I've done it 100 times, okay? But it's this phrase, "The Lord has made known to us." There was no question for them. The angel had given the word from the Lord. They'd received the word. They didn't say, "Let's come and see this thing which may have come to pass." Let's come and see this thing which has come to pass. Why? Because the Lord has said it. Everyone involved in the events, the visitations, the words, the scriptures and everything else, the angels, all of these things are simply messengers. They're simply pointers to something God has said. You see, when God gives his word, it's done. It's final. Everyone says amen. Amen means let it be so. When God says it and everyone goes amen, it means it's going to happen. It's going to happen the way. It's in a sense, when God speaks, his prophetic word goes forth and it's considered done. And the shepherds responded in the same way. Let us go and see what the Lord has made known to us. Now, let's just consider this. All those things, the angelic visitations, all this coming down, the revelation, all the supernatural events that's happened have come from outside the natural realm. You'd agree with that? The only reason we call it supernatural is because it's broken nature, standard order and nature, and come in from outside and has broken the natural things that we understand. Because there are, I know the world tries to argue, there are norms, aren't there? Okay? Most people have two legs, some people don't. But normally people have two legs. There's certain things in nature and there's things which are supernatural. Now, I want us to consider this. And this is when I was walking with the Lord through the forest. I was like, is this it? Is this all you want to impart to me and for me to impart to others? And I ate my words very quickly. And let me just, I want to share three verses with you. Just abbreviation. You can write them down, okay? Now listen very carefully, okay? Because you're going to say, I know this. Therefore, you definitely need to listen, as I had to listen. Luke, who wrote Luke in the book of Acts, said this in Luke chapter 1, verse 3. When he wrote the letter, when he wrote the gospel, he said this, I had perfect understanding of all things from above. Some of your versions will say from the very first or something like this. But he said, I had perfect understanding of all things that I'm about to write. The Greek word is anothen, which is from above. They were divinely inspired. And he wrote one main book, which was split into two, Luke's gospel and the book of Acts. They're divinely inspired. Now, listen, Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. You can say inspiration of God, but literally it means all scripture is God-breathed. Now listen again. In Peter's epistle, he writes concerning Paul's teaching, okay, saying that some people are ignorant and unstable, twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. Okay, that's 2 Peter 3:16. Luke is saying this is inspired from above. Paul is saying all scripture is inspired. People go, well, what about Paul's writings then? And Peter is saying that Paul's writings are all inspired. Now look, all of you are probably thinking, James, we know all of this. Heard it before, we know it, okay? And I want to just remind you, with all the supernatural events that you've heard over the Christmas period, angels, visitations, and everything else that you've heard, okay, so too is the Word of God. That's what all I want to impress on you today. That's it. The Bible that you have on your lap, or on your phone, is inspired and is as accurate as the visitation, is as supernatural as the visitation, is as powerful as the visitation, and is as powerful as the day that God said it. The Word of God is divine. Amen? I was like, yeah, Lord, well, I know this. He said, impress this on my people. Because we've had it so long, okay? Now, it's very careful. We must be careful to become over-familiar with the Bible. It's good to be familiar, to know the scripture, but over-familiarity breeds contempt. You see, knowledge of the Bible is not enough. Knowing your Bible is not enough, okay? One must apply what you learn, okay? We must be very careful, and I had this in my mind, that we're not just to be Christian by name, but we're to be Christian by nature. We should never get to a point when we say, we're done. I've become a Christian, I've been baptized, I've joined a fellowship, I'm now in, and I'm now done, I'm finished, okay? You wouldn't apply that to anything else. If you joined a boxing club or a football club or a dance class, you say, I've come in as a beginner and there's more to learn. Is this true? Okay. So, not just Christian by name, but Christian by nature. Not hearers only, but doers also. It's very important that we do what it actually says. Because as a pastor, I speak with people from very different backgrounds, not just from this congregation, other congregations. And I challenge people, say, well, have you actually done what God said? Well, I know what he said, but, and there's always this but, I haven't actually done it. And God is saying this, do it. By doing is where the transformation takes place. If you join a dance class and it's Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday, and you think 6 months later, I'm not doing very good. Everyone else seems to be surpassing me. And you go to the dance teacher, you say, what's going on? And the dance teacher says, well, I only see you on Mondays. This is why, it's because you're not doing it, okay? Now, the Lord has made known to the shepherds what has come to pass through his word. And the Lord has made known to us his word containing his will. This is all very simple, yeah? This is what he wants to impart, I believe. Now, God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are inseparable from their word. They are echad, they are one. It's exactly the same. What you have in your hands is God breathed. And he's saying, this is the question, are you doing what I've asked you to do? Not in a condemning way, because Jesus speaks more about deception than persecution. Being deceived or self-deceived by not actually doing what it says. Because it all becomes very familiar. And sometimes, even in the Christian realm, we get oversaturated with stuff. Sermons, messages, books. There's a lot out of there. A lot out there, and we want to learn everything, but are we doing the basics? Now, I believe this, that God's word is perfect. God's word is divinely inspired, eternal, and final. It doesn't change. Amen? That should bring us security. That should bring us peace. That's the thing that we can say, as Raimondo said in his prayer, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? It doesn't change. This is a beautiful thing. So turn with me now to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, this isn't going to take very long. I just want you to concentrate. You've read this a million times, so now you're going to read it a million one. Okay. And nothing happens from this pulpit unless I've been challenged first. Okay? Now, I'm going to be reading this from the NLT, different translation. Okay? I just want to say this. When Jesus came, when Jesus was on earth, the language of the Jews was Aramaic. Jesus didn't speak Hebrew to the people. There was a form of Hebrew at the time called Mishnaic Hebrew, okay? But he didn't speak this. He spoke Aramaic to the people. He would have read the scriptures in Hebrew and spoke Aramaic. The reason why I say this is because it's very important that you, when you're speaking to somebody about the gospel, that they understand it. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm going to speak Hebrew. You catch up. So it's very important for us to be able to speak a language that people understand. Okay? As I often say to people about the Apostle Paul, the method may change, but the message remains the same. Okay, so adapt your methods, but the message has to stay the same. Like the Apostle Paul said, I am become all things to all men, that I may win some. Okay, so let's not be clever about it. We want to get that message across however we want to get it across. Okay, now, let's have a look. So John, chapter 1, we're going to read 1 to 5. I'm just going to make a short commentary on it, okay? Now, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? We know this. If any Jew would have heard this in the first century, it would have blown their mind. God was always referred to as the Word. The Aramaic word was the Memra. So, Jews never referred to God as Yahweh or Elohim or anything else. They would always say the Word. Who created this? The Word did. Who said we should do this? The Word did. Now they don't say that. They say Hashem, the name. But before they said HaMemra. So John is writing to them and saying, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Jesus would have read this and gone, okay. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he existed in the beginning. He created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word, this is God, gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. Remember, in the book of Genesis, when Adam was created, God breathed into him. God breathed, like in the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. God breathed his word into him, and he became a living being. There was sin. He fell. We know the story. However, we also know that Jesus, when he goes to the Jews in the upper room, he breathed into them again. So in creation, so too is in the recreation. God breathed. The word that you have is also God breathed. Now, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Nothing can put it out. That life that you have, that spirit life that you have, nothing can put it out. However, you do need to stoke the fire by reading the word, by praying and having fellowship one with another. Now, who is John talking about? Emphatic, isn't it? He's talking about Jesus. Now, let's have a look in John chapter 1, 14. When you read this very slowly, because we know it, read it slowly, read it prayerfully, and it will, well, your mind will explode. I was reading this last night. I was, wow, incredible. When you read it slowly and actually take in what is saying, what is conveying. I've read this a million times. Lock yourself away. It says this. So we know what the word is. John says, the word became flesh. Wow. God became a man. God became flesh. And it says he dwelt among us, meaning he tabernacled among us. This is so powerful. If anyone would have read this, they would go, what do you mean? The divine presence of the divine glory, which dwelt firstly in the tabernacle and then in the temple. Are you saying that spirit became a man and dwelt among his creation? This should honestly make us slow down when we're reading his holy word. This is mind-boggling. What's he want to do that for? You realize by him coming down that he wants to redeem man and bring man back to himself. It's very important we understand the heart of a father. And that God loves you so much, and he requires only one thing, obedience. That's all he wants. He doesn't want anything else. He wants you, and he wants you personally. Because he loves you. He's your creator. He dwelt among us, says John. He says, and we beheld his glory. What does that mean? We use the word glory, we use these religious words a lot. We beheld his majesty. We beheld his splendor. The character of God dwelt among men. He can relate to everything that you are going through. You've been rejected, he's been rejected. You've been spoken against, he's been spoken against. You've been beaten unjustly and persecuted, so's he. And what's he saying to you? Listen, I've given you my word. Will you hear it? Will we stop arguing, us Christians, over silly, small things and hear the word of God? Because in that word is life and light. There's nothing like it. Any other religion, forget it. Don't even pay attention. It's not to be on the same shelf, on the same category. Escape your mind from this and get the mind of Christ, because it's there and it's available. And everything wants to keep you from it. Yourself, your flesh, your friends, your family who are not following the Christ life want to keep you away from it. The internet, the television, I could be a whole day. But God is saying, get alone with me. Get your dog, go in the forest. Get alone with me. Will you do that? That's what he's saying. And those words that he speaks, which are God-breathed, when you look at it and you have it in your mind, who's speaking to you? And it's when you're alone with God, it's just you and God on the universe. There's no cue. He can deal with it, having lots of people praying at the same time. It's as if you and God are alone in the forest together. We beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Unmerited favor. He's not going to bash you for your sin. He's not going to bash you for what you've sins you've committed or going to commit. He said, no, stick with me. You stick with me. Listen to me. Because my words are going to change you. My breath is going to change you and transform you. If only you listen. This is what he said to Israel, the same thing. Just listen to me. And I will change everything in your life. Now here we have, of course, the incarnation. The theophanies. God coming in the form of a man. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. It's impossible. Did not God dwell in temples made of hands of men, in the tabernacle, in the temple? You're saying he can't dwell in his own creation? Of course he did. He dwelt in the God-man Jesus, did he not? And let's just consider this. And I'm sure you would agree with me on this. That Jesus is God in the flesh. Can you say amen to that? I've debated with so many people from different faiths. It's very easy to refute every argument. In Islam, they say, oh, well, we believe he's a Muslim. I go, well, that's not my Jesus. Oh, in Judaism, we think he's a false teacher. Well, that's not my Jesus. Oh, in Hinduism, we think Jesus is an incarnation of Vishnu. No, that's not my, look, you're not listening to me. This is not my Jesus. He may have the same name, but it's not the same man. Because my Jesus is divine. My Jesus is mine. And my Jesus has revealed himself to me. So I don't know which Jesus you got, but I do know this. It's the wrong one. You have the wrong Jesus, my friend. And you need to get with the program and get the right Jesus. Because he's your creator. He's divine. He came on a divine mission and completed the mission. He doesn't fail. He succeeds. Jesus is victorious. Amen? Now, let's look. John 14, verse 19. Now, this is coming towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And the disciples know he's going. They don't really know where he's going to go, but they know he's going. So have a look at verse 19. John 14, verse 19. Jesus says this. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Now, look, this could well be rendered, but you will see me as this. But you will continue to see me. The Greek could easily be rendered this way. I'm going. The world won't see me, but you will continue to see me. Now, because of this statement, such a profound statement, try and get your mind back to a first century Jew, if you can. What does that mean? Verse 22 says this, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, what line of communication will you maintain with us? How will we know? How's that communication going to happen if you're not here? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him this, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, God has made known to us his word and his will. We all know the road of salvation given in the gospel. We know the gospels. We know what Jesus said very well. God has made known to us his word. This is the message today. The words that you have are precious. Everything wants to keep you from it. And God is saying, come to me, for in them you have life. In them you have life. Everything should be governed by the word of God. It's sometimes called the canon of scripture. The word canon comes from a Greek word for a reed, a ruler. Everything should be compared to the word. This is the measure. Is it straight or is it crooked? Is it straight or is it bent? You know, that's why when convicts leave prison, they say, I'm going to go straight. And if it's a dodgy copper, you say it's a bent copper. Everything should be measured to the word of God. Now, I know that this morning I've said nothing new. But if we can't grasp this, God cannot speak to us because he's desperate to speak and converse and convey to you and to me and to this church and to the church worldwide. As he said to the shepherds, the Lord has made known to us how to keep the line open with God. It's to read his word and do his will. That's the message today. Now I want to ask you, maybe Andy, I can ask you to come lead worship. Now be honest to yourselves, as if it's you and God alone. Don't worry about anybody else here. Okay? As we're coming to the end of 2023, here's some serious questions. Are you hearing God's voice through his word? Has it become a little faint? This is between you and God. It's not between me or you or anything else. It's between you and God. Can you hear his voice? Have you become too familiar with the Bible? Okay, and I say, let me just say first, I'm the first to say, I think maybe I have. Okay, so that's what I did in the forest. I recommitted to the Lord. Well, how can you do that? You're a pastor. Because I'm probably in the word more than you. And you get so familiar, but well, I know this. And God said, no, you're not listening. Come and listen to me, James. Here's a question. Do you think God's got more for you? How are you going to find out? His word, be praying, be communing with the Lord. Don't opt for the status quo. Don't plateau in your Christian walk. As we go into 2024, say, no, I want a new start. I want a fresh start. I want to hear afresh from you. I want my first love back, thanks. I want it how it was. I want the honeymoon period once again. I want to pick up your word afresh and I want to read it. And I want it to penetrate my mind, my soul, and my spirit. I want it to feed me, Lord. Should we stand? I want you to be believing what the Bible says. When the Bible says you are saved, when the Bible says you are loved, when the Bible says you're a child of God, Now, if you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, let me just say, and you reject that, it's not me, I'm not like one of them, everyone else is saved, I'm not saved. This is not humility, it's called pride. Sorry, I have to come hard against that. It's called pride. God's saying, you are special, but amongst everyone else, you're just one of the other kids, all right? There's no partiality with God. If he says you're saved, you're saved. Your emotions and your feelings on this count is irrelevant. God has said it. He confesses me before man, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. You believe on the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? Now, I want you just to take time, just to wait on the Lord. And when you feel secure in this, maybe there's some prayers you want to throw up to the Lord. I want you to come forth and grab the communion cup and the bread, and we're going to take communion.